Qui veut commencer?
Who would like to start with the first question?
Allez-y.
Go ahead. Microphone. Maybe could you start again? We couldn't hear what you said. Sorry, the interpreters do not hear anything.
La deuxième question, sur l'assurance vie, j'ai cru comprendre que l'assurance vie était...
Sorry, the translators are not hearing anything, and the technicians are aware of this now, and they're doing their best to address the issue. We'll be back with you as soon as possible.
Merci pour vos deux questions.
Thank you for both of your questions. Like, I will answer the second question, and Enrique will answer the first question on our underwriting and investment policy with regard to GNL and with regard LNG and now life insurance has always been, will be a major pillar of AXA. It represents a major part of our company, and we see, as I said before, that the needs of populations of customers in terms of retirement and protection will keep growing over time. And this is exactly what we've been doing in the past few years. We certainly changed our life insurance mix. At the time, we were highly focused on pure savings. In other words, in competition with many banks, many asset managers, and we've changed that mix towards more pensions and retirement, because this is our core business. In other words, how can we help our customers manage the length of our life? We've changed this, and secondly, we also changed our mix, which is more skewed towards more balanced products in terms of cover, guarantee, and upside in the markets. And it is this move which helped us change the mix and the direction of the products, which created the new foundation to generate growth in life insurance. Certainly, in Europe, all markets, especially the friend market, are very significant markets. But remember as well that in Asia, we are a major player as regards life insurers, especially in Japan and Hong Kong. Second question now. We had two questions on this. One regarding LNG in English, and we don't have any exclusion policy regarding this kind of infrastructure. Regarding shale gas, we are excluding insurance to companies that draw 30% of their oil and gas production based on shale, and we have been applying this for quite some time. So these are the answers that we provided. Just to give you the context, we have less than 1% of our investments which are in fossil investments, and we keep reconsidering our policy constantly. That's the spirit about supporting ecological transition. Next question. Hello, everyone. I'd like to know if you, what about the cost of nat cats in the last quarter, and specifically in France? You're not providing any solvency targets for your 2026 plan. Could you tell us why, and possibly give us a few clues on that? Likely for the 2026 plan, do you have a quantified number in terms of cost reduction? Can you tell us more as well about your offshoring and the nearshoring project. Does it entail the fact that you will have more net hirings in those countries than on your mature markets, and to what extent? And one last question now is regarding France, where the business was negative last year, and what do you foresee for the coming years? No, there are five questions now, if I counted properly. Now, the first question was about the NatCat cost in the last quarter. Alban de Maynez, this is a question for you. Now, the second question was, what about the Solvency II target? Alban, also, that's for you. Now, the third question, what about the cost cutting for 2026? That's for you, Frédéric. Then the offshoring and nearshoring topic, that's for Alexander. Would you like to answer in English, and then we'll translate you? And then for France and the development of premium, Guillaume Doré. Alban, over to you. Regarding NatCat, look, I cannot give you the figure for the last year. I think the figure which is interesting to note is that when you look at the French and European Europe scope, the cost of NatCat was 2 points of our premiums, and it was 9 points of our premiums in the second quarter, which proves precisely the sharp seasonality that we encountered. It impacted chiefly Italy, Switzerland, and Germany, and to some extent France. With regard to solvency, now, well, as a matter of fact, we do not provide any target for a simple reason. Look, we had said 190% for the previous plan, and now we stand at 227%, and we constantly got this question, when will you give back the surplus? Well, there isn't any. We're very happy with the current level of 227. What we're saying for the next plan is that we are very happy to operate at this level, which may vary slightly, but the key point to take away in this case is, as I said earlier, we are generating a great deal of solvency, and we have reduced to a large extent the sensitivity of our solvency, especially to interest rates. We cut them by about 60%. In other words, our level of solvency is reasonably steady, so we are happy to operate at that level. Thank you, Alban. Frédéric, regarding costs, we don't have any cost-cutting targets in absolute terms, but we have goals to increase productivity. So why is that the case, especially given the inflationary context that we are focusing on productivity, and you will see that in the presentation to investors this afternoon, we are providing a figure. We say that we want to reduce by 0.5 points. The expense rate, excluding fees, excluding premiums, which would move to 3.5%. So in other words, we are growing our business faster than our costs. To give you an example in this regard, and this is one reason we are focusing highly on automation, as I said before, so we intend to automate a great deal in the next 3 years. And if you look at all of what we call operations, other people would call it back office, I don't like this word, which represents 40% of our headcount, based on our experience, automation should help us gain 3% of productivity per year, to give you a rough estimate. That's a ballpark estimate. So we want to increase productivity. That's our target.
So that is basically the number of tasks, so to speak, carried out by an individual. Now, with the issue of offshoring and nearshoring, I think the question also concerned hiring. I'll ask Alexandre Sartre to answer that, and Karima, if you could add something about recruitment or hiring in English, Alexandre, or French, if you want.
But I'm trying. So first of all, we have done near and offshoring to service center in India, Morocco, and in Poland for the last 10 years already, and today we have roughly 11,000 people working from these countries for us. So it's not new to AXA. Second, you have seen that we are on average hiring 17,000 people per year, across AXA Group, and roughly 60% of this number is attributed to our core European markets. Third, you have also heard that we want to grow going forward, and it is increasingly difficult to find all the right skills in our mature markets due to retirement. It will be increasingly difficult to find some of the skills that we need. And you have also heard we're investing in technology, we're having initiatives on data and AI, we have initiatives on automation, but also think about cyber defense, for instance, where we are struggling to find experts in all the markets where we need them. So for us, this is a very important initiative also to get capabilities and skills that are not so easy to find in all our markets. But that definitely means we continue to hire, but we will continue also to grow in our near and offshoring centers in India, in Morocco, and in Poland.
Très bien, merci Alexandre. Et peut-être on jette un coup d'œil sur les...
Very quickly, if we could now talk about recruiting and hiring in Europe, Karima. Yes, Alexandre has pointed that out. We have a dynamic movement. I believe the growth strategy is one in which we need people for this. Last year, we hired 17,000, as Alexander said. That's plus 6% compared to the previous period. So we have a 6,000 hired in France, and we are in the top hirers each year, with a lot of rehiring going through apprenticeships. So the strong dynamics will continue, in particular because in some business lines we have a slight increase in our retirement departures. So it's very important for expert things, I'm thinking about actuaries, I'm thinking about underwriting, IT, to continue hiring dynamically. The 17,000, as Alexander emphasized, between 50 to 60% are in Europe. We hire a lot of young people in all categories of age groups. And of these 17,000, we include in some of our markets, especially France, agents and sales staff. Near and offshoring, it doesn't mean replace hiring in France and elsewhere. It means adding to the hiring that we find with profiles that we just can't find in our classic countries. Guillaume. Premium income, if there was a contraction last year, with all these investments, we'll have to invert the trend. Yes, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Amélie. Thank you for your question. Firstly, I'd like to emphasize, as a preamble, as you know, business in France, as reported in all the group's publications, includes an international segment that was very significant in 2022 in health, international health business lines, in particular, as Frederick and Albon pointed out in their presentation, we have proactively ended two very large international health policies that were accounted for 2.2 billion in our regression premiums for 2022. So you can see there's a very significant reflection of this change. So I'm going to now comment on the growth in domestic business, AXA France in France. AXA France business, we have plus 4% in 2023. That growth is sustained by all our business lines without exception. In P&C, we grew by 8% on the domestic market. In health, we grew by 6% on the domestic market. I would like to emphasize these aspects because in health and other lines, you can see in the publication, the global figure is the most impacted by that international growth. On the domestic market, we grew by 6% in health. In EB, we grew on the domestic market in individual and retail and in EB. And in savings as well, we grew by 2% in 2023. So savings grew by the slowest rate, but we have returned to growth in the second half of the year, a change compared to the results you saw in the first half of the year, which also indicates our confidence in sustained growth in savings in 2024 because our distribution networks are highly committed to this development. That growth on the domestic market is maintained by what? By three factors. Firstly, for the first time in a long time, We've increased our distribution networks. That's the start of our next strategic plan. As Frederick mentioned, we have an objective for the first time in many years to resume an increase in the number of distributors, exclusive tied agents for AXA France. In other words, the numbers of people exclusively distributing AXA France products on the French market, which grew by 3% in 2023, and will accelerate this in 2024. The second factor for this that explains this growth is that for the second time in a long time, we've increased the number of individual clients in AXA France. The number there, in fact, amounts to 427,000 policies. That's a 10-year record for AXA France. And it increased our client base, our individual client base, which is already about 6 million people, by 2%. That's a central factor for future growth. Because, as you know, where our distribution networks, our exclusive ones, are very good, is in supporting overtime and in multi-policy holding. So there is a major growth, extremely strong growth factor. And the final factor is that growth on the domestic market that was sustained in 2023 will be further sustained in 2024 and is done under good profitability conditions. When I look at the technical performance of 2023 compared to our results, our technical results of the 2022 results, intrinsic performance therefore improved in the three main lines, P&C, health and savings, and therefore we can say we've got a healthy portfolio for the next plan. Does that answer all your questions? Thank you. Moving on to the next question. I just had a quick question, in fact two, on the Insurance Alliance. That was an important point that you left it. It was chaired by one of your members, I believe. Is it completely dead and buried, or could it lead to a new initiative at that level? And again, relating to the U.S., how do you assess the election or the re-election, the possible re-election of Donald Trump this year? I'll try and answer the two questions. The first is easier than the second. For the Mediterranean Alliance, the alliance was founded at the time as and was really driven by AXA in the sense that the Net Zero Asset Owner Alliance is done in an investment to support the climate transition. We've also got to do in underwriting risks, and that's why we said we have to meet up with several global insurers to discuss the principles by which each entity underwrites risks, and so we can learn from each other what it means to support a climate transition as an insurer. We worked well together and discussed the principles over 2 years until we received a letter from the 23 attorneys general, in the U.S., where this meeting of Net Insurance Alliance was not compatible with the principles of free competition. That was our first issue that we clarified with the European authorities, but we thought that the next step in that alliance would be for every company to publish their own ambitions, which is why we said that we worked well together for 2 years. We had everything we needed to go much further in the future, and now we said we should focus more on our climate commitments than in any legal battles we may have in the U.S., which is why we decided to withdraw from the alliance without giving up our climate ambitions, because as you saw, only 2 or 3 weeks after withdrawing, we published our own objectives that are more ambitious than those you saw in the past. I was thinking that in this one, we said that we pointed out that we want to remain a dynamic and very important contributor and a leader in the support of the climate transition. As for the U.S. elections, presidential elections, that is something which is still a long way away, because people forget we still have 9 months to go. And I can see a lot of discussions about this, and the only issue that might make me a little sad is that in 9 months' time, we can still do a lot. To have a spirit, an attitude, instead of thinking that the election is all cut and dried. I don't think that's the right way of looking at things. 9 months is a long time. People have to be responsible to ensure that there are qualified candidates who can face the challenges before us. I believe and I hope that we'll see more activity in the next 9 months before this election. Yes, good morning. I have a quick question. There's a press article that was talking about your intention to sell some of AXA Partners in some European businesses. I just wanted to know where you stood with that and how was that part of your strategy plan that you presented this morning. As you know, this morning, we never comment on rumors, which is why I shan't offer any comment there. It's clear that AXA Partners in itself is a company that is important for us because it is the service arm of AXA under the responsibility of Guillaume Borie. And perhaps, Guillaume, you might want to develop on what AXA Partners is and why is it strategic for us. Well, AXA Partners, as you know, is a combination of three activities that we steer globally because there are scale-up effects on this business. There's insurance, that's what we call credit lifestyle protection, travel insurance, and assistance business. Now, the assistance business is clearly very, very much in line with all our operations worldwide, so we work with AXA entities in each country, but it's about 60% of our activity, so that's 40%. That's also done with other insurers and other companies that need assistance services, in particular, obviously, major leasing companies and motor construction or car vehicle construction activities. Now, it's something that we've seen in assistance and in travel insurance, a sound development and growth in 2023, and is, for those activities, quite strategic for us. Perfect. Thank you. Next question.
Guillaume Clément. Just one question on asset management. Last year, as in the previous year, you're stating that the inflow comes from insurance groups, especially the savings issue. My question is, now how will the situation evolve in the next few years? Would you like to reverse the trend now, given your will of moving towards third-party clients and more profitable assets? Clearly, our asset management is a key pillar for AXA. Asset management is twofold. It is very solid in managing liquid assets such as bonds, treasuries, and on the other hand, and equities as well. And it's also a major player when it comes to managing alternative assets such as the property, real estate, or private debt. AXA IM serves AXA, and you are totally right with the transactions we carried out, especially with respect to the life insurance portfolios, because we got rid of some of these portfolios, so automatically, therefore, the inflows at AXA is slightly more negative than it ought to be the case, normally speaking. So I had stated that the AXA transformation is now more or less completed. We have a new foundation now so that we can really focus on the scale-up, as mentioned by Frederick. And this is why I expect new inflows that will be reversed. In other words, they will be more positive because no longer have many portfolio transactions. And secondly, and I hope
that the interest rate issue will become normalized, in other words, have fewer outflows from our clients when it comes to life insurance. Now, on the front, on alternative asset management, we can see a sharp increase of our inflows, because there we work a lot with third parties, and it remains assets that are very sought after by every institutional investor. We can take one last question. Laurence Puget, AGFI, in terms of asset management, this slight consolidation move in your industry, can AXA IM be part and parcel of that move? I don't know if there's a consolidation. I haven't seen anything so far. I mean, there's rumor that people seem to be speaking with each other. I told you before, I told Guillaume that asset management is a key business for us, and this is why today we are well positioned on the liquid part and on the alternative part, and certainly with regard to the latter one, we are leaders in Europe. In other words, today we are not actively seeking any discussions with others, but I'm not ruling this out. If someone comes along and offers a partnership on something that could enhance our position today, I'm always open, but this is not something topical. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for your questions. I thank my colleagues for having answered, and I wish you a very good day. Thank you.